I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome into another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager for Second City Hockey. You can find me on Twitter at dmelt57 until, once again, that account is shut down by the Twitter IP tracking overlords. I've got all my usual line mates with me this evening for, I think I made an offhand comment on Tuesday night, like, we were going to record Tuesday night, and I said, you know what, let's kick it back to Thursday in case anything interesting happens during the town hall. And boy, was that not fortuitous, but you know why we're here. So let's bring everybody in. Up first, the analytics darling of Second City Hockey. You can find on Twitter at Shepherd Price. It is Shepherd Price.
Hi. So real fast, just to get like a real good roast joke off, the guy who wrote looking like a fool with your pants on the ground clearly never saw Rocky Wirtz and the fact that he has his pants all the way up past his belly button.
Well,
I am going to roast the owner because the owner deserves it.
I have nothing to add to that. I'm just gonna nod my head and chuckle to myself and move along to bring in the next person on the panel I want to apologize to him in advance because I know how much his heart was broken that he was unable to participate in an event at Wintrust Arena last night, but he is the Second City Hockey, what Tim Kasher was the cursive, and he is on Twitter at Mill182. It is Mill Savage.
Hey, yeah, I still haven't brought myself to watch it yet, so sorry.
I was fortunate enough to have a friend who worked during the day, so his car was already dug out, and so I shoveled a path to get myself to his car, and we were able to make it in about an hour and a half from our location, and that's usually like a 40-minute drive. And then going back home, the Bishop Ford was an ice rink, and there were like 12 cars in the ditch. I don't think we went over 30. It was a very long night, but it was pretty good, so... and I know you've been to several before, but, apologies in advance. And we could have had beers together in person. So,
yeah, I appreciate it. We'll do it the next show. My car currently is like 11 feet tall with all the snow on top of it.
Oh,
still.
I just finished shoveling a driveway and I'm going to be sore for the next month. So snow seems like a really fun thing when you're a kid and you just get to go sledding in it. But being an adult, not as much fun, especially when you get a foot of it all at once. So,
especially when you have to shovel and don't live in a downtown high rise.
Yeah. Yes. So suddenly I would much like to be back in an apartment renting for the next week. Whatever. I guess live and learn. Also with us this evening, she's not on Twitter, but you can find her at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. It is Second City Hockey's bulletin wall of text. And as we learned last week, hater of children, it is Betsy.
I don't hate children. I just don't want to deal with them until they're not like damp all the time. Like,
so like age 7.
Like, whenever you like reach out for their hand, there's like a 90% chance it's going to be wet or sticky. I don't really.
Okay. Like 5.
Yeah. I mean, like once they learn how to use napkins regularly, and also you don't have to go to the bathroom with them necessarily. Like
kindergartners. Yeah.
I have a 5-year-old niece who I adore. But my sister very wisely was like, you don't have to interact with her when she's younger than that. And the pandemic helps, you know, keep her away. But we Zoomed and it was great because I'm really good. I love animated movies and obviously Disney's, you know, yes. I know every song ever. And my niece thought I was the coolest because I could literally sing to every song ever. A Disney movie, whatever it was. I could sing to it. Also a bunch of little Disney Channel movies like Zombies and Descendants. I know all the words to those songs. So she thought I was like magic. And then when we finally like the pandemic got close enough, I was like, cool, we can actually like sit on the couch together because I don't think you're going to be damp. Like that's just, it always comes back to, I don't want to be sticky or wet. I don't know how to explain it
to you
better.
No, I guess once a child is old enough to like clean for themselves, I guess. So maybe that's that sounds like 4 to 5 range. I don't know. I haven't raised any children. I don't know how this works, but
yeah. Right. So.
Well, I would much rather sit and talk about all these topics than what we're about to get into. But I guess we'll make our weird transition to Blackhawk. Well, not even Blackhawks hockey. It's like no. Blackhawks
organization news.
Blackhawks front office as the world turns. Like, I'm not going to talk much here because I had a piece that went live at secondcityhockey.com this morning. You can read all my thoughts there. The general summation of that whole thing is, I am just still incredibly dumbfounded and flabbergasted. And I was Googling synonyms for words of this nature because I just cannot believe that that actually happened last night when Rocky Wirtz went off on 2 reporters, the first one of which Mark Lazarus asked a question that wasn't all that difficult to answer. It was actually kind of an easy one. And then Phil Thompson from the Tribune followed up with another question in a similar vein, and Rocky just got more upset. And I don't know. I don't know. So I'm just going to throw it around the panel. We'll start off with Shay first. Just have at it.
Danny had an answer ready and was trying to interrupt his dad and like to that question. And like, it was probably because it's Danny was probably going to be like decently smart and like actually answer the question.
Yeah. Like
if with it was a PR response,
there were like 20 to 25 minutes where like Danny Wirtz and Jamie Faulkner did most of the talking and everything seemed to be going well. And then Danny started to talk and like Rocky Wirtz gave like the discouraging father because that is his son, but just like the wag of the finger. No, I got this. And Danny just seemed, oh boy.
Yeah.
It's like you could read it on his face.
That's a moment where you need to be like, no, that
I've been thinking about that all day of like, I don't know how realistic it is to expect Danny Wirtz to cut off his father after his father cut him off. I don't know. That seems like a tall task.
I don't want to go on a wealth rant, but like it's got something to do with that. But just like, God, we really expected the apple to fall pretty far from the tree, didn't we? In terms of Rocky and Dollar Bill.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it did though.
I think they're both very like very clear members of the old boys club, which is the problem with hockey.
But yeah, I think Bill Wirtz was part of an older boys club, and so like you needed Rocky Wirtz to bring the Blackhawks up to like 2008, you know, by putting home games on TV and actually like spending money to make money, I think was the quote someone attributed to the change in philosophy when he took over. And that was good to a point. And then it kind of like whatever evolution of the organization seemed to kind of stop there.
Yeah.
And that's why what happened last night.
It's just, I think this team is, I would be okay with it, with them selling, and I'd be okay with them selling to like Jerry Reinsdorf. And I'd like, ugh. I'm not a huge fan of Jerry Reinsdorf right now because he went over the head, but like Tony La Russa knew how to coach 10 years ago. I don't know if Jeremy Colleton knew how to coach 10 years ago. I don't know if like Stan Bowman was a good GM 10 years ago.
I didn't think Jeremy Colleton's name was going to come up tonight somehow, but
always and forever. Always,
yeah. Hey, that's Olympic head coach Jeremy Colleton to you, by the way.
Oh, good luck to Canada. God, yeah, it's just a mess.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Betsy, what about you?
I mean, it's just such a disappointing thing because not that I need Rocky to be redeemed in any way, because we've all pretty much been like, okay, I don't know 100% if I believe the investigation that says he didn't know anything, but I'm not going to touch it. I'm just going to leave it alone because I'm going to push Rocky like out of sight, out of mind, and hope that the people that are in the front, Danny and Jamie, are going to do right by the situation and try to turn the ship around. And we were all happy with that. We as fans want the organization to be redeemed a little bit because we don't want to root for such a shitty organization, right? Like,
yeah,
the product on ice is already bad. We would like to at some point not feel like bad about rooting for this team in some way. And Rocky just kind of spat in the face of everybody who was like still holding on to be like old man yells at cloud. And it was so stupid because I mean, the one thing he kept saying is we don't want to talk about it. We want to move on. And it's like, all you did was bring more national attention. You did the exact opposite, bro. So like,
if they were, the Blackhawks were like, I haven't listened to a ton of sports talk radio in Chicago, but I saw every show tweet, we're going to talk about this. Mark Lazarus and Phil Thompson were on radio stations in Chicago, across the country and into Canada. I mean, I think Rocky Wirtz was the number five trending topic on Twitter last night in the United States.
He did the exact opposite.
Yeah. Like you said, Betsy, the exact opposite.
It's just such a sad thing as a fan, because again, you want to be able to root for it without being embarrassed. And that's embarrassing that you can't hold your anger at softball questions over a problem that your organization created because you wanted to move on so quickly. Like, again, irony, because to use that phrase, we don't want to talk about it. We want to move on. That was your problem in 2010. You're bringing it back around. So it's like double irony that, and you don't want to bring attention to it. And you did. And it's from a fan perspective, it's sad. From the Blackhawks, there, it's embarrassing for them. They should be embarrassed. It's just my full opinion.
Mill, what about you?
You know, I'd like someone to explain to me how Rocky Wirtz inherited a team, won three cups almost right off the bat, and somehow they look like a worse organization than they were before that.
Right?
Like, you literally have a team that was, I think, 04, 05 around the lockout, was named worst franchise in sports.
I think that was in 2003. I remember, early
2000s.
Yeah, somewhere around.
Remember there. That?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ESPN, the magazine.
Yeah. I'm dating myself here. And
me too.
There's a lot of controversy from different avenues, of course, and it's serious shit. But also, like, it like kind of Betsy brought this up. It sucks because I don't have the urge, even if I felt okay about giving them my money, I don't even want to go watch this team in person.
No.
Because they suck.
No.
Yeah. Like, I was getting very close to, like around December, I was thinking about going, but then they – They were on the road, I think, for a week or two. And then like Omicron showed up. I'm like, maybe not bringing Omicron home for Christmas to all my family wouldn't be a great idea. So
well, that game that you and I talked about got canceled.
Yeah.
The Flames.
Yeah. Then the league had postponements for 2 weeks. And then I was looking at the Monday night game against the Canucks, or one of the first ones out of the All-Star break. I'm all right. I think I can just watch at home. Like, what's even the point? Like, I knew the team was going to be bad, but just the idea of spending money on tickets to a game right now, even if you buy it off the secondhand market, so the money doesn't really go to the team. Like, I don't even care.
And I just want to throw this out there. Like, even though they're not fun to watch, the off ice stuff, all he had to say was, we have, you know, like every other major company in America, we have an open door policy, and things will be taken seriously and handled immediately. Like, that's all he had to say.
He didn't even have to say anything. The question wasn't even to him. It was to Danny.
But I'm just saying, like, to answer that question, like, that is every job that I've ever had that's been, like, by a legitimate company.
100% agree. It was such an easy way to respond, even if they didn't have a plan in place, which it sounds like they do, because Danny went up after, like, apologized to everybody and was like, we'd be willing to sit down and talk about this in detail. But all he had to do was say a cliche thing, and everybody would have been like, okay, I guess, you know, it's coming, blah, blah, blah. Because, again, the organization was kind of on the rise a little bit. People were kind of forgetting it, and he just
stopped. You reminded everyone of your colossal failing as an organization.
Yeah. In 10 years. Well, I'm now thinking that there's a whole shitstorm of 2010 stuff coming their way with these other lawsuits.
Well, another lawsuit is, I can't remember, I'll have to look up the headline, but I could remember if somebody was deciding on whether or not to file a lawsuit.
Or they're deciding, because it's a Miami student, former Miami student, that was assaulted by Aldrich after in 2012.
Okay.
John Doe won. Black Ace one, excuse me, Black Ace one, from all the reports. And then Paul Vincent is now saying, like, he said that he was blacklisted from hockey after that, and it was led by the Blackhawks.
Well, great. So,
yeah.
So it feels like we're right back to October again.
Oh, fun. Right. This is Jeremy Colvin's coaching again.
It's just,
he's a better PR guy than Rocky Ward.
Oh, I know.
Even with all this stuff pending, though, if they had just had the right, because they've already done the thing where they've removed the people that supposedly, quote unquote, were the people that were at fault. So all they had to do was say, we're still dealing with the fallout from that, but while we do that, we're looking forward to what we can do to be better. As Mill pointed out, it's really fucking simple.
Yeah. And the thing, the most baffling part of this for me is, if you go back into the, and I looked this up. On Monday, The Athletic wrote an article, Lazarus and Scott Powers wrote it, where they listed off all the questions that they would want to ask at the town hall. Philip Thompson from the Tribune wrote an article that was posted Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. that said, this is the five things we want to know from the town hall meeting. Each of those articles had references to the Kyle Beach situation and how the team is, I forget exactly how it was worded, but is how the team is, what the team is doing to make sure that never happens again. They literally wrote articles that said they were going to ask you. There's no way they didn't know this question was coming. So how in the fuck was that the reaction from Rocky Wirtz? Like, I don't know if the PR staff can't be that bad. They had to know this question was coming. They had to, everybody on the panel had to know it was going to be there. And I imagine they had to, like, gauge reaction somehow, or have a meeting that decided how they were going to answer when that question came up. So I feel like they did.
And the answer was that it was going to be Danny who answered that question. And, like, again, Danny had a prepared statement ready.
Yeah.
He clearly had something he was done.
Yeah. Rocky totally turned into,
he got interrupted by an angry old man yelling at clouds.
He turned into Junior Soprano, like, for 5 minutes, and just kind of lost his mind. And I was, like, sitting here thinking, like, most of my tweets, I was live tweeting the game from the Second City account last night. Most of them were about the town hall. What does that say?
Yeah, like, the Hawks lost 5-0, and I don't think anybody cares.
I got a question from somebody in there. They're like, well, why would they even ask these kind of questions? I'm like, a town hall is an open forum. And what do you think they're going to ask about the shitty on ice product?
If you wanted, if they really wanted to play like the softball PR angle, you could just have fans ask pre-approved questions.
Yeah, it's like,
but they invited the media, and like, right, there was no question, there was no doubt in anybody's mind, or at least there should not have been, that this was going to come up. And I just cannot believe. I hope somebody writes a book in 10 years about all of this and explains what the hell happened within the organization. And if they knew Rocky was going to do that, if they knew he was annoyed by any references to Kyle Beach, or if he just completely went off script, totally out of left field.
Well, I don't think anybody expected him to react the way he did. He might have wanted to just say, you know, no, we're not answering that, but he lost it.
So I said this before we got on the air, but like, it's shocking to us as fans because we just don't see that side of Rocky, really. Like, even mm-hmm. somebody in the comments mentioned, you know, it's like, oh, it was just really crazy. We've just never seen that. And I was like, look at the body language of the people that were on stage. There was no shock to them. They all were just embarrassed and they looked away.
Man, I get uncomfortable seeing other people be that uncomfortable.
Oh no, secondhand
look
embarrassment.
Look at Eddie Olchek video during that. Oh my God.
But like, my point is that none of them reacted in shock. Like, I kind of reared back, like, while I was like, oh my God, you know, like, it was like a fucking sharp cut, whatever those things are. It scared the crap out of me. How angry
you were. Jump scare.
Yeah, there you go. But none of the people on stage did, which just makes me feel like maybe that's not abnormal for him, at least on that topic, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't want to.
Well, words is a word. Like,
yeah, exactly. like, I don't want to like sit there and say he's always an angry old man, but you shouldn't have a hair trigger that low. And no, it wasn't because of who was asking the question. Like, a lot of people were saying that too. And that's not the point. The point is the question was a good one. It was soft and it was easily answerable. And
Rocky, I mean, did he even need to be there? Really?
No,
I mean,
they should not have even had him. I get the reason they did. And this is the point that I was like annoyed at, is they're trying to redeem Rocky alongside the organization, and that shouldn't be the priority. No. And if he just stayed away, again, he was pretty much clean.
I don't know what every person in the Blackhawks fan base is thinking, but like, with the Wirtz family having their separate beverage industry, like, it's like the family, like, they own the hockey team, but they're not really too heavily involved with that. Like, I always thought it was kind of at an arm's length. Like, you know, Rocky would sit in the at the top of the 100 level when they were good, and he hasn't been there since, but they weren't that heavily involved. So when the whole, like, that's why they brought in John McDonough, like, you fix this mess. And, you know, if we have questions, we're here, but we're going to let you take care of everything. And I think there was a level of, I don't think anybody assumed that Rocky Wirtz had any knowledge of the entire Kyle Beach situation until these lawsuits recently resurfaced. Like, I don't think anybody doubted when I believe that's what he said. And I think the only thing that's made people think twice was what happened last night.
Yeah. Why get so angry if you had no part in it?
Yeah. Like, on the topic of, on Lazarus, he never asks questions that are quote unquote, like, crossing the line, even when it comes to hockey related stuff. Like, he doesn't really ever go to places where they won't want to answer the questions.
Yeah. None of the beats do. They're pretty company line-ish guys, like
which is why the Kyle Beach story came from Rick Westhead.
It'd be nice if they could push more, but I understand why they sometimes don't. But even still,
and this is nothing against Laz with the Athletic, I'm just saying that's why people like us are doing this stuff, is because we're going to talk about stuff that they won't ask. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, and so I feel like we have to credit, like, the first person that organization that reported on the whole thing was WBEZ, which is a radio station in Chicago. They were the first ones that had an article about the lawsuit when it came out. And then that Rick Westhead's reporting, just once he got wind of it, he just took over the whole thing. I'm not even sure what point I was going to make.
Which now owns the Chicago Sun-Times. So maybe the Sun-Times person will become.
Yeah.
My only point was just like, I understand people might be annoyed at Laz on Twitter, but like, I don't think him asking a question had anything to do with the response that he was given.
No, I know, and like, he said on Twitter, I think Betsy made the point, like, it wasn't a difficult, like, cutting question. It was, hey, what are you doing to make sure you don't colossally fuck up again? And they said, well, we're doing different things. Like, it's man, it's.
And Rocky said, we're about to colossally fuck up right now.
It just makes the organization look like they're regressing.
Yeah, like
doesn't look better.
This is the concern. I put this at the end of the article, and we were talking about this a little bit already. But like, so Rocky Wirtz, when he took over the team after Bill Wirtz passed away, was like this big breath of fresh air, and had, you know, was out smiling, shaking hands. The team was winning. He got games on TV. Everything was great. And now this happens 10 years later. So, and now Danny Wirtz comes along, and he's like the knight in shining armor, and he's going to bring the Blackhawks into the next era and have more transparency and make sure things like this don't happen again. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about Danny Wirtz. I don't have any inside knowledge of him, but that last name now has a pretty – is we're 0-2 with that last name in terms of just overall – relationships with the fans and I guess the society around them. And I have my reservations now about Danny Wirtz because of his last name, and he's in the same family. I mean, I know he's younger, he's a different generation, but everything that people are saying about Danny Wirtz now is the things they were saying about Rocky Wirtz 10 or 15 years ago. So I don't know how to be optimistic.
Go ahead, if you're putting out press release, cause they put out a press release right before we started recording, like a revised one. Cause they put out barely their apology last night, a couple, like 3 or 4 hours after the town hall. And then they put out like a longer one and Danny's one. And he sits there and says, you know, he and his dad are united. And it's like, no, you're not united if that's the reaction. If that's the opinion. You have to distance yourself. And I'm not saying he has to condemn his dad. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that what he should say is that, like in the past, Rocky has given him and Jamie full authority, and we will be spearheading to go forward. That way, Rocky's distanced from every effort going forward so that that path can be positive. That forward path cannot be positive with Rocky tainting it. Like, that outburst just tainted it, because it makes it seem like, oh, actually, you're just you're doing lip service, and that's it. And
yeah, you're just trying to cover your own ass. You don't really care about any level of evolution of your team. You just want to make sure.
Responsibility for fault or consequences or owning up the mistakes.
And just changing. Just no accountability. And I feel like there was I was trying to find this number, and the most recent thing I could find is that the family was valued at $4.4 billion in 2015. And in this country, when you have that kind of money, accountability usually doesn't.
No, it doesn't ever. Exist.
You can buy your accountability.
You know what's funny is they signed all these guys and traded and blah, 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 and thought, oh, we're going to cover this shit up by getting good again. And they lost like 9 in a row to start the year. Like, you know what? Well deserved.
I've never been, when we get to April and this season ends, I will never, this will be the happiest I've ever been for a hockey season to end. It has not been fun. The next 2 months, 2 to 3 months, probably aren't going to be much better, because the team's not that great. Now we're back to having the shadow of everything going on in the organization hovering over the team even more now. It's going to be a miserable 3 to 4 months, and then it's going to be over, and maybe something good will happen afterwards.
It's like Kane's hurt. Him and Taves' contracts are coming up. Kirby Doc still hasn't done anything. Marc-Andre Fleury is about.
Go ahead.
Oh, so Marc-Andre Fleury is like a martyr.
Seth Jones is about to get a $3.5 million raise.
I wish Seth Jones was a bigger problem for them. Alex DeBrincat's an all-star. That's all I got, man.
Yeah,
playing in the one event that he shouldn't be. Like.
Yeah. All things considered, it's like the team's not even like miserably bad now. They're just they're so boringly, mediocrely bad that, like, I don't know if that makes sense. It's just like,
it's just there's no, like, if you were a young and up and coming team, like, you could at least like point to like 2 or 3 young guys and say, well, these guys are getting better. And that's cool. You know, like, they like Alex DeBrincat's kind of a fully realized star at this point. Like, he'll probably get better because that's just what he seems to do. I just don't know how much better he can get because he's pretty much maximizing all the ability that he has already. But are there any other young guys on this team getting better? Like, Kirby Doc sure as hell isn't.
Dylan Strome's been playing pretty good.
Yeah, Dylan Strome's been playing well. I mean, Lucas Reichel's in Rockford, so maybe if he comes up and
Hagel's good.
Hagel's good.
The Hawks don't deserve to play at the UC right now. They should be playing at that 5,000 seat college arena that the Coyotes are going to.
They're going to play at Wintrust Arena, but only on nights when AEW isn't there.
No, that's still too big. Actually, I don't think you can put hockey in there the way it's laid out.
Yeah, well, find a way.
Put them in Allstate. Them and the Wolves should
trade. You know what? With the driving home on the last night, I think they could probably play on the Bishop Ford because it was pretty much an ice rink. So maybe we'll just put them out there.
Fuck it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's enough for this topic. So let's just wrap that all up. And we're going to talk about some other Blackhawk stuff on the other side of a timeout. It's probably not going to be much more uplifting, but maybe we'll have a little bit more fun with it than we had with all of this stuff. So come on back on the other side of this break for that conversation.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison. And as promised, before the break, we wanted to dive into some other things that are certainly not as much of a downer as the topic we were talking about earlier, which was Rocky Wirtz and his town hall tirade, I guess we'll call it. But the Blackhawks are also still looking for a new GM. And the news that just broke or was just reported within the last hour isn't going to do any wonders for anybody because Mario Tirabassi over at Bleacher Nation Blackhawks tweeted that, and I probably just said his name wrong again, even though you've all just corrected me on it before we came on the air. So Mario, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But anyway, Mario tweeted that he was listening or reading Darren Drager on Insider Trading and said that Peter Chiarelli is a candidate for the Blackhawks GM job. Oh my God. Haven't we suffered enough?
It's Drager? When it comes from Friedman Panic? It's Drager.
I feel like Drager's pretty reliable.
He's not.
He's not Elliot Friedman, but
no. Again, like I'm like Friedman's now 2-for-2. He got Verbeek right in Anaheim. If he like when he says like, oh, this is the favorite, that's when you pay attention. He has not said that about the Blackhawks yet. I don't believe.
Well, good. I hope to God. Like I understand like doing your due diligence, making all the phone calls and all of that, but I don't understand how Peter Chiarelli could possibly get another job in the NHL when all he has done in his other stops is fail.
He drafted Connor McDavid.
I could have drafted Connor McDavid.
It's like giving Talon credit for drafting.
But, yeah. Picking the number one consensus overall guy is not interesting. All you're telling me is that his team sucks so much that they won the draft lottery.
To be fair, that was the year he got there.
Well, either way.
That was like the first thing he did as Edmonton GM.
Yeah, and Mike Smith drafted Corey Crawford. So, like, I that does nothing for me. He's traded away Tyler Seguin. He's traded away Taylor Hall. He traded away Phil Kessel. Like,
there's a reason he's considered
Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah, I just
he traded away Dougie.
I don't know who else. I've forgotten anything else that happened during the town hall session because of the whole Rocky Wirtz thing. Did names ever come up during the GM search? I feel like I should know this, but I do not.
No. And in fact, the only thing they said about the GM that I remember is that the GM will have full power. And that they'd already announced this, but they definitely aren't hiring a hockey operations president to be above the GM.
Which is really bad. That's really dumb.
Yeah. And I mean,
especially if you go with Davidson, just have somebody above it.
That's what I would say. The only thing that Friedman has said is that Davidson seems to be like they seem to be leaning towards that. But they're still going to do their due diligence elsewhere. And Laz and Powers both have also echoed that. So I'm like,
I don't want to completely rule out Kyle Davidson. Like, I mean, he's only been around for three or 4 months.
He was groomed by Bowman.
I'm aware. I know. But what I'm saying is it's only been like 3 or 4 months, so I'm not going to completely say he sucks. But I just – with all of the elaborate things that they – this thing has taken 2 to 3 months, and they announced this committee and all these steps they're taking, and they're going to do all that and then just take the interim tag off Kyle Davidson. Like, that just feels like a waste of a lot of time for that simple of a move. It just doesn't seem to make sense. That's all I got. Yeah. That just seems like a lot of effort to promote the guy already in the room.
Especially when there's probably more qualified people who are older and deserve it. Like Mark Hunter is still out there. There's people who could absolutely be GM and like deserve a chance who are not, again, tainted with the stink of Stan Bowman.
Hey, I'm sorry I was gone for a sec. I was looking something up, but Chiarelli also traded Chris Versteeg to the Hawks for Brandon Bochenski.
All right.
So it just turns out he was an inside agent the entire time. He was just really bad at it because we should have gotten a lot of the players.
And then Versteeg ended up winning the cup with the Hawks twice. The second time he came back, and he was on the all rookie team.
That was a trade way back that brought Versteeg to the organization initially. That was like
before he played in the NHL. Correct. Yeah, okay, he was drafted by Boston.
That was the good Chris Versteeg trade. A few of the other ones were not as receptive.
The other. I've seen Chris Versteeg score goals in the United Center for like 4 different teams. And I'm not joking.
Versteeg was good in his return the second year until he got hurt.
Yeah,
they didn't give up anything for him, really, did they?
I don't think so. It wasn't like any of the Brandon side trades that progressively got worse over time. But
yeah, Versteeg was part of that huge, like, well, we can't pay you cap dump in 2010.
Yeah.
And then they just were like, well, we'll just get him back.
Twice.
Because they thought he was going to make a lot more money. Like, he looked really good as a rookie.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he was, there was one, several players like, good God, his trade history on the hockey reference. Like, he was initially traded to Toronto. And they got Victor Stahlberg out of the deal, who won a cup in 2013. Yeah. Then he came back to the Hawks.
No, they went to Philly.
Then he went to the Panthers. And then he was traded from the Panthers back to the Hawks for Jimmy Hayes and Dylan Olsen.
Yeah, at best you can say that prevented Kevin Hayes from signing, maybe.
Dylan Olsen fucking sucked.
And so did Jimmy Hayes, but
Dylan Olsen played a lot of minutes in that Coyotes playoff series, and his legs are like cement.
We can't say anything bad about Jimmy Hayes. Rest in peace.
I said,
Sky Point.
Okay, I didn't know if you did or not, Betsy. I just wanted to be sure.
I was like, oh yeah, he's.
Sorry, Dylan Olsen.
Oh yeah, I'm sure Dylan's listening. The one thing I did want to bring up, and I don't remember if we talked about this last week or not, but. So they announced this committee, and there seemed to be some complaints on the internet, which again is a bad place to go to for information. But anyway, some complaints about having former players and Eddie Olczyk on this panel as advisors to assist in the search for the Blackhawks' next general manager. I don't think that's such an awful idea, as long as they're just part of the committee. Like, I'm sure there's Marian Hossa was around, was in the NHL for 20 years. I'm sure he knows some things. Patrick Sharp played on, not only played in Chicago, he played on a couple different teams. Eddie Olczyk has been around the league. Like, he does the Hawks games. He's a national broadcaster. I'm sure
he's been a GM.
He's been a GM before. Even if he wasn't that successful, he has been very much involved in a lot of hockey conversations. I'm sure he has plenty of thoughts. The interesting name to me, though, and he wasn't even mentioned in the press release, is this Mike Ford from Sportology. Well, Sportology is his group that he started. It's a sports executive consulting firm where he essentially gets hired by professional sports franchises when they're looking for help, when they're hiring GMs or high ranking executives. And I just thought that was a very interesting thing for the Blackhawks to do, because he's very much not part of the hockey world. Like, some of the places Ford has spent time as an executive with the Premier League, a bunch of teams over there, including Chelsea. He helped the Sacramento Kings hire their GM. I don't know if the Kings are good or not. I haven't gotten that far in basketball yet. They're in the West. The Bulls are in the East.
They're not really that great.
Okay. But either
that's
way.
Because of the previous GM.
Okay. Either way, it's just I was encouraged by it because it's somebody from outside the hockey world. It's a new and different voice that maybe will talk them out of a bad decision, like, I don't know, Peter Chiarelli. So did that name mean anything to you guys, or did anything about the Blackhawks GM search register on your radars yet?
I mean, Mike Ford is like, there's a Ringer article about him, like naming him like the kingmaker and then the NBA.
Yeah.
And like there was news like last week that the Blackhawks were looking outside of hockey for at GM candidates. And that's probably why.
Yeah. I don't know if you need to hire a GM from outside of hockey, but just having a voice from outside of the hockey world who might have a different perspective on what makes a good general manager, I don't think it can hurt.
But it's the perfect example of why they shouldn't have GM and hockey ops together. You know, hire somebody for hockey ops that's outside of hockey, maybe, and then hire a GM who knows their shit. It's doesn't seem that hard.
They need to find an owner first.
that they do. Well, maybe Rocky Ward just goes away forever after this. He'll be the chairman in title only. It'll be
It's not so easy, Dave. We tried that with Bill.
I mean, he literally was like, "No, I'm here to stay, or I won't." Because somebody asked him if he was going to step back, and he was like, "No."
Just go play with your booze, Rocky. Just leave us alone.
I'm pretty sure that there's been news that like when Rocky took over the team that he gave up interests in Binnie's. Because his brother was set to take over the Blackhawks, and then he wanted the Blackhawks.
Yeah, like they switched it, but the liquor distribution is so much of their money that it's like disgusting. Like they make like 99 cents to a dollar on it when you buy a beer at the UC.
Man, that sounds lovely. Yeah,
Shay's absolutely correct, though. That's what happened.
I referenced that 2015 Forbes article that had them at $4.4 billion, and that's when the Hawks were at the height of their powers, and it wasn't the Hawks that made them a $4 billion name. So,
why do you think they were able to not do shit with the team for so many years?
And also, like, the Pritzker family is worth, like,
more,
$40 billion, and that's not all JB. Like, his sister and his brother are both really rich.
Although anytime we have a government affiliated families by hockey or by sports teams in Chicago, it doesn't end very well. This is a Chicago Cubs reference
It ends with me.
We don't have a single Cubs fan on the channel, so never mind.
I'm a divorced Cubs fan, basically. Yeah, the Ricketts don't get my money anymore. Fuck them. They took away statues to put a betting thing up. What the fuck? And I'm somebody who bets all the time, but come on.
They could have put a sports book inside the United Center now. That's the way everything's going.
But don't take down statues.
They're going to put the statues back, I guess. I don't care now,
but I'm just saying, like, fucking, like, Ron Santo's dead, man. How are you going to do him like that? He can't even stick up for himself. Fuckers.
I live in St. Louis, which is a place that would never do that.
Yeah.
And I've become a Cardinal defender.
Yeah, well, the Cardinals have done plenty of criminal things I won't get into, but fuck them too.
Yeah, I agree. All right, before we get too far off the rails, he says every week, the All-Star game is this weekend, and it's All-Star weekend as well, not just the game. And I wanted to, like, I don't care about the All-Star game. It's boring. Like, it's a glorified rad hockey session. Like, no one really does anything. But I love the Super Skills competition. I love watching it because I think it gives you what the way they break down the skills and like the things that they make players do that look impossible, and the players do it with relative ease. It's fascinating to me to see how good these guys are at hockey. And this thing that they're doing out on the Vegas Strip with, they're going to put up a giant wall with a bunch of cards on them, and they're going to have guys playing blackjack. And they're I think it's like you, I think they get 5 pucks to get obviously the best blackjack hand they can, blackjack hand that they can. That's too many rhyming words all in one, but you know what I'm trying to say. So I'm very interested in watching this. Do any of you guys get into the super skill stuff, or is this just me?
I think it's cool to watch.
Okay.
I'm not like super hype about it, but like,
I wouldn't go super hype, but I'm always, we haven't, it hasn't happened in a few years with all the last few years. So I always enjoy watching it. Cause again, it's fun to watch people be really good at things.
After my outburst about baseball, I don't know that I'll have the energy to watch anything ever again. But it definitely shows you how fucking talented these guys are. Like, I don't think some people, if you've never, and I'm not saying you have to play hockey to even recognize it, but if you've never skated or picked up a hockey stick, like, it's fucking challenging.
Like, I've my experience is entirely limited to beer leagues, but I mean, just trying to do a one-timer. Oh my God. And then to get it like on net, like right under the bar, like Alex Brinkett does all the time. I have no idea how he does it. It's wizardry.
I know. I sit here and talk about how guys suck, and then I'm just like thinking I could never do any of that stuff.
It's because that's what they do all day, every day. It's practice.
Correct. But it's just when you see the end product of all of that, it is, I think it's very true to watch. So Shay, it sounds like you may not be the biggest super skills guy.
I know. I am a big super skills person because it's insane. Like a lot of the stuff they've done in the past and now, like it is insane at what they do, but like, that's how they get there is like the 10,000 hour rule from Malcolm Gladwell. Like they practice throughout their entire youth. And that's how they end up
That's true.
And so, yeah, and Alex DeBrincat's obviously the Blackhawks' only representative in the All-Star game. He's going to be doing, I think, the breakaway competition. Is that what it was?
Yep.
Which is kind
why?
Of a, which is, yeah, kind of a Are bummer. I thought he would have been a great person for the outdoor blackjack thing.
Exactly. Put him in that.
I think I'm not really super into the All-Star game ever. Like, even all things considered, but I am a jersey nerd and I actually really like the All-Star jerseys this year. They're not ugly like they've been. So if anybody cares about that, they're pretty nice. I'm not going to buy one because it's stupid, but like, you know.
You know, and I haven't even seen the All-Star jerseys this year. So
the darks are like 2-tone, 3-tone blue, and then the aways are white with red and black, and they're very clean and simple. But like they were doing all that goofy shit, like neon and all this weird, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it just is hard to, cause like the thing is for me with jerseys, it's like the thing I hate the most is when it's hard to look at on TV, like Dallas or whatever.
The only jersey I want to buy in the near future, and this might be weird, but I really want a old school Mighty Ducks, Zegras, how do you say his?
Trevor
Zegras. Yeah, Zegras. I'm always going to pronounce things wrong, but I want his jersey so bad. Mm. I have a Schertzy from USA, so want the jersey.
I have some pretty brutal Ducks jerseys, I'm not going to lie. All 90s, though.
All right, so while you guys were talking jerseys there, I had to look up who was doing the blackjack game. So the 5 players are... Nazem Kadri, Austin Matthews, Joe Pavelski, Steven Stamkos, and Brady Tkachuk.
That's Interesting.
Brady Tkachuk?
Yeah,
Brady
Tkachuk.
It's not a, he can't, not a great shooter.
He can't fight the cards.
Neither is Joe Pavelski.
No.
He's not like a sharpshooter. He like his goals are like no. I can shovel into the puck well and I can outmuscle you in front. I mean, he's got Nazem Kadri's going to fight the
He's going to fight his way to black jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they'll fight each other.
Kadri's not a sharpshooter either.
Yeah, no, but Tkachuk he's scoring and Kadri
just fight each other.
Kadri and Tkachuk are going to get suspended for the All-Star game because they're going to fight during this. That's what
you guys remember. Do you guys remember that 1 year Taves didn't want to play and they suspended him 2 games?
Well, they
I mean, yeah, yeah. They that's become the punishment. Like,
but like
Ovechkin has been suspended.
But when Taves did it, my store had a 20% off Hawk sale. Just like just the All-Star weekend, just to tell the NHL to go fuck themselves.
Ovechkin has like he's sick now. So Tom Wilson is the All-Star from them. Ugh. And yeah, first of all.
Yeah.
But second of all, people should look at what the card was that the Caps put out because we were making fun of like Connolly for looking like he's 28. For some, I didn't realize Tom Wilson had aged so much and so quickly. Like, I guess being dirty does that to you. I don't know.
That's karma. That's karma catching up.
I feel like Alex Ovechkin's had gray hair forever, but like he doesn't seem old because of it.
He's very youthful, but yeah. Like, I don't know why they use that picture for him because that was not a good look for Wilson. And he used to be like the one that like Tumblr girls were like, oh, he's so cute. And it's like, okay, but he's a jackass. So could you not?
I'm glad we got the phrase Tumblr girls.
I've pissed off my fair share of Tumblr girls unintentionally in my life when that was a hockey thing. It usually would be like some back, like something where I wouldn't think about how, oh, like they're just a fan of this player because of either their looks or whatever. That's, which is fine. But then I would be like, this guy fucking sucks. And they'd get all mad. I'm like, oh, sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I just like, he's a bad player. That happened to me so many times. I felt like a jerk, but I wasn't thinking.
Dave, if it makes you feel better now, they're Twitter girls. I mean, I know you keep getting kicked off Twitter, but they exist.
Oh. No, that's me. No, that's Dave. Mill's good.
Oh, Dave, sorry.
Yeah, I've never gotten kicked off Twitter. I actually, I've gotten quite a few interesting followers lately because of the Second City account. There's like one dude who his picture is of him on the glass with Laz holding Laz's book. I was just like, honestly, respect.
I hope he got paid for that. All right. Well, I think we've effectively completely fallen off the rails now. So I guess this is where we wrap up the episode. And any final?
You guys
thoughts?
Want to talk about that 5-0 loss?
Oh yeah, yeah. Anybody? I didn't get to watch the game. I'm so disappointed. I had to watch.
Turned it off after goal 2.
So is this me and Mill talking then? they weren't as bad as the score indicates. Cam Talbot just did a really good job, and Marc-Andre Fleury did the exact opposite.
Also, yeah, first period, they had nothing to show for it, and that killed them.
Yeah, that's Seth Jones' chance. I keep thinking about that chance. Like he should have had that.
Steve and I sat here and watched the game, and we're just drinking shots of Jameson, and I was like, kind of started as I'm bummed I'm not at wrestling to turn into I'm bummed that I have to watch this game because of how bad they are. Oh,
they played the Canucks Monday night. They lost 3-1. And I'm trying to remember what happened during that game.
No, it was terrible.
I think that game was probably worse.
Oh, that was boring as hell. They did nothing all game. And then Connor Murphy took a slap shot and Halak either wasn't ready for it or just
He hadn't seen a shot in a while.
Yeah.
And then
he also hadn't played in like 3 months, I think.
Yeah, it was, it was stupid. He wasn't screened. There was like nothing. He just was like, oh, finally a shot got through.
Yeah.
Like,
and then the Friday before they played the Avalanche, it actually like fell behind, made a good run of it, made it interesting, and then lost at the end. So
that was kind of like
there's your Blackhawks recap.
Yeah, that like the Avalanche one was kind of just like the Avs were kind of going into sleep mode every 5 minutes and then they'd wake up and score.
Yeah, that was the game
lost to somebody bad too, right?
They lost to the Coyotes. It was the biggest betting upset in like 25 years by the odds.
Yep, fire Bednar, trade McKinnon probably to the Hawks. But yeah, I think remember thinking after that game, like the Hawks just aren't as good as the Avalanche is what we had reconfirmed for us after that game.
And were they 0-3-1 this year against them?
Yeah, something like that. And oh yeah, and then they beat the hell out of the Red Wings last week. I can't remember if we recorded before or after that, but that was fun.
Play like that game, like there was no defense in that game, but like I don't even care because it was fun.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I will take 8-5 anytime the Hawks want to play it, whether they win or they lose. 8-5 was a hell of a lot more fun than that. God, that Vancouver game. That was one where, as the game was, the further that game went, the more chores I was doing around the house with the game, less and less attention being paid to the game.
The Red Wings won. The Red Wings or the Canucks?
That was the Canucks game. The Red Wings game was It was there were 13 goals scored.
That game was fun.
Yeah.
No, that night I parlayed the Hawks and the Bulls, and I won both. Like I won that, so I was super stoked that they kicked it. Like, I mean, it kind of didn't really kick their ass because they scored 8 and only won by 3. But you take that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would have wanted 10-0 personally against Detroit, but you know, what can you do?
Yeah. All right. Well, we wrapped up the last week of games, and then they play coming out of the All-Star break. They will play next Wednesday against the Edmonton Oilers. I believe that.
Who cares?
Yeah, that game's at home. If you want to go, the four of us could go, and we might double the attendance there. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I've been thinking about doing the Nordiques thing, where you wear the Nordiques gear and stand up at TV timeouts and clap and protest. Do you guys remember that?
I say that, or you could throw a jersey on the ice. I lied. The game is in Edmonton. They play in Edmonton on Wednesday, and then on Saturday they're in St. Louis, and then on Valentine's Day they're in Winnipeg for a 9 o'clock start. So, so you can get your Valentine's Day dinners out of the way, and then treat yourself to. Well, that's not treating yourself, but you can watch a Blackhawks game if you're so inclined.
No.
All right. I might. We'll see.
If you're single and alone with nothing else to do,
yeah, I feel seen.
Maybe find something else to do.
Or take a date to a Blackhawks game, and then they'll never speak to you ever again.
Well, it's also in Winnipeg, so if you take them to Winnipeg, they will never speak to you again.
You can't. I forgot. You can't go. You can't get in there because they don't have an airport.
No, they don't have an airport. But also, I think they're probably still strict about like. The border
process. Maybe, but that's so like it depends on which part of Canada you go into. If you can find someone who'll take you out into the woods and then you just drive south to Winnipeg, you're good.
All right, there we go.
This is a hockey podcast.
Mills travel tips for everyone. There we go. All right,
can't fly to Winnipeg.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll talk about food stuff next week to work that in because we're running out of time here. I guess it's not really a food take. This is more just a food thought of maybe the next week go find a local restaurant and go support it because restaurants, this is always a rough time of year for them because it's after the holidays. It's cold. Nobody wants to go anywhere and do anything. And, you know, restaurants have been hurt in general in the last 2 years. So, yeah, find a good local spot. Tip like 50%, you know, take care of your restaurants. They're good places to go. So that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you very much for listening. Most of us are on Twitter. I'm at DML57. Shepherd is at Shepherd Price. Mill is at Mill182. Betsy's not on Twitter, but you can find her at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. And that's where you can find all of our stuff. We were talking about doing a mailbag episode last week, and then obviously shit hit the fan. So maybe we'll try that again in a few weeks or something. You can send us questions. You can send us more. We got some hate mail because I guess some people didn't like our things about Rocky Wirtz. But you can send us whatever you want. SecondCityHockey@gmail.com, all spelled out. But thank you again for listening. Thanks to everyone for hanging out. We'll talk to you next week.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.